What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you've been enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast wherever you listen to it. Also, if you want to leave me a voicemail, we got a new voicemail line. You can reach me at 213-394-2773. I love to hear your thoughts on the show. And also, it'll enter you for a chance to win some merch. So please leave me a voicemail. I might send you something. Peace. Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Today, I got a special guest in the building. You may have seen us on Instagram Live if you follow us on Instagram. We are related. You mind introducing yourself to the people?
Of course. My name is Andre Mahom Rhodes, aka NUK. I'm an independent hip hop artist out of Santa Barbara, California. And Mike's my cousin, my second cousin.
Yeah, man. Before we get too into the episode, I just want to say thank y'all for listening. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast wherever you listen to it. It's so helpful to the growth of this. So I really appreciate y'all for doing that. But yeah, man, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Made my way from up north about a couple hours ago. We had some breakfast. The drive was safe, easy, smooth. Everything on my end been good. 2021 has started out great. I just put an album out on the 6th of March, and it's streaming everywhere right now. It's called Haji Baba, H-A-J-I-B-A-B-A. And yeah, it's been getting some good positive feedback. And man, I've been dealing with my routine pretty well. I've been having a real solid routine ever since the beginning of COVID, and I've just been constantly growing it and making it better and better as I keep going. So
that's what's up, man. I brought you on the show because when we had our conversation on Instagram after we talked a lot about fear. And I'm definitely in that space of like recognizing like fear is one of them things that never goes away, but also learning how to carry that shit into like the next phases for me. But how do you feel like fear is affecting you right now?
I feel fear. Well, first I like to say I think fear is a variety of kinds of avoidance even. And it could be fear of success. It could be fear of failure. I think that fear comes in different forms. And I think that fear has specifically affected me in the areas of procrastination, at sometimes being a little lazy and not wanting to do the task at hand, which is procrastinating. But in the end, I see it as fear.
Yeah.
I don't really like to call things, you know, being procrastinating, you being lazy. It's more you're being fearful. You're fearful. Your fear of whether it's going to fail, your fear of whether it's going to succeed. It could be either one of the two. But yeah, man, I believe that my fear lies right now with just mainly procrastination.
Yeah. How are you working through it?
Not learning to not procrastinate.
Yeah.
And if that must mean, like I'm saying, creating a routine for yourself that positively benefits you, may not positively benefit everyone around you, but as long as you feel like you're doing the correct thing, you feel like you're on the correct path, I feel that kind of eliminates that fear slowly. You know, it does take a little bit. I still, like I'm saying, I'm still working through it, but like you said, the fear never really goes away. It just kind of changes. It like I said, it takes different forms in different parts of your life. You're fearful of different things. So I feel right now everyone's kind of in a weird place. They're kind of uncomfortable being cooped up at home so much. It's been almost a year now. It's been pretty much a year now. And man, just growing comfortable with that solitude. At first, that solitude kind of scared me. You know what I mean? At first, that not being able to hang out with people, not being able to interact with people, not being able to have shows, not being able to promote and do things musically that I wanted to do, everything just being stopped, it did add a fear. But at the same time, it gave me room for other parts of music, other parts of my life that I feel like I needed to work on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like fear directly affects everything. Like, you know, I think for me, it shows up most clear in my creativity, like just as far as trying to get shit out and, you know, being in my head about it, but I also see it translate into other parts of my life. And I think for me, the way I'm getting through that shit is talking to other people about it, like 100%. Really having real conversations about, hey, I'm doing this. And, you know, like sometimes maybe not even recognizing, like, I'm afraid of this, but having that conversation and somebody asking you those leading questions to lead you somewhere, and also, you know, them being able to resonate with you and you being able to resonate with them, like, that shit has been helpful for me. Cause the journey ain't easy doing it alone.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And like you said, man, being able to talk to someone, anybody, about anything that you're doing, it makes you feel better. Just being able to kind of have somebody that does have an ear, you know, and vice versa, like being someone's ear when they need to talk about something, I think is very emotionally conscientious. You know what I mean? You're being emotionally conscientious when you're not just always the person that's talking and getting your problems up, but if they ever have an issue, that they could come and talk to you about whatever they need to talk about too. And it helps grow a relationship, and it ultimately helps curve that fear a little bit. You know what I mean? When you're able to talk to someone and they're able to talk to you back about what they're fearful, you know?
Yeah.
It goes back and forth. But
And I just thought of this because I was thinking of mine, but what's the earliest that you think that you've ever felt fear?
Earliest I felt fear was
or like, what's the first time you kind of remember that you think you felt fear?
Oh, the splitting of my parents. My parents broke up when I was maybe 3, 4. I might have been older, maybe 5. It's very childhood. It's kind of like those memories when you're a child, those faint memories that you could kind of remember. I do remember at times when my mom and dad would argue and they'd fight, and I was fearful for the fact that I would possibly lose my mom, possibly lose my dad, whichever one I was going to lose, I didn't really know. And I think at a young age, that kind of built up. I think that was like the first initial feeling of fear that I had, was that one of these people is going to go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to be with both of them. I just remember as a child, that was the first time that I felt fearful, that I just didn't know, you know. It was kind of just the unknown of just not knowing what was going to happen next. And I think that, you know, that's another way that fear comes in. It's like it's the unknown. It's the, you know, it's sometimes just being fearful of the unknown.
Yeah, I definitely think that's where fear comes from as well. Because like for me, you know, when I think about my earliest memory of fear, I think about being in the dark. And like for a long time, probably shit, maybe till like last year, like honestly, when I moved here, that's kind of when I got over my fear of darkness.
Oh, wow.
And moving here, but also I did a, what was that shit called? It was one of those tanks where you sit in water in darkness.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. And having to be in there for like an hour and a half in pure darkness, because my mind just roams.
Yeah.
You know, my mind never shuts off. So that was my fear as a kid, because my mind would roam as a kid. So like being in darkness, that unknown of what's in this space with me, mm-hmm. you just don't know. And I think moving into every situation of unknown does carry some fear to it, but it shouldn't.
Exactly.
Like,
it's you know, it's I guess going back to when I was a child, you know, I was fearful of whichever person was going to, you know, whoever I was going to end up with. But ultimately, now at the age that I'm at, I thank the higher power, thank God that it was my mom. And, you know, for the most part, my mom did an amazing job on her own. And she, you know, in the end, you know, I was scared and I was fearful of that situation, but it turned into something that, you know, I wouldn't trade for like the world, which is like really something to think about, you know, as a kid, if I were to look at myself and say, don't worry, your mom's gonna do it. Don't trip about your dad. As a kid, I was, you know, I think as a young boy, you kind of have an attachment to your dad. And it's like, you know, your dad's the one that, you know, like in the dark, when you're scared of the dark, you know, you call your dad, you know, help me out, you know. But my mom took on that role of mom and dad. And I didn't think that, I guess as a kid, I didn't think she would be able to. And she did it. So
that's what's up. And to me, that says a lot about her, just like pushing through, you know.
Yeah. It was the unknown, you know, even for her. It was like, she didn't know what the hell. She was 23, I think, when she had me. So it was like, it's that unknown of like, I don't know how, you know, how this is going to work out with me, a single, me being single now. Like, you know, she made it happen.
Yeah. When's the last time you felt fear?
The last time I felt fear, it's honestly, just because I link fear with procrastination and laziness.
Mm-hmm.
I do say within the last week or 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I did feel a sense of fear, and I think it ultimately, you know, my album did come out not too long ago. I think there was just something in my mind that didn't really cap the motivation,
mm-hmm.
and cap that like progression and that kind of rhythm, whatever that I was carrying, but momentum. Momentum that it was carrying, you know, that momentum that I kind of had, that motivation that I had right after the album came out, it kind of went away. And I still had more plans to do. I still had more stuff that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But for some reason, for a week, I just couldn't really do anything.
And yeah,
I couldn't figure out what it was. I was happy. I was, you know, I was thrilled. I was happy that the project had come out, but I wasn't happy with myself that I wasn't doing what I planned that I was going to do. And I was kind of like, not mad. I don't like to say mad at myself, but like, I was kind of like catching myself and like, man, like, remember you got something that you working on still. Like, you know, take this week off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take this week off, chill, whatever you need to do. But like, when next week rolls around, be ready to get back to work. And it's not even work. It's at this point, I think we were talking earlier at breakfast, like once it becomes play, once the work becomes fun, it makes it easier to get to, you know what I mean? That's sometimes that's the hardest part is starting. You know what I mean? I remember I do run every single morning at six in the morning, kind of right before the sun comes up. I like to run before the sun comes up just because people ain't on the streets. Obviously COVID, I don't like to be around a lot of people while I'm running. But man, like I remember when I first started doing that and how hard it was to go outside in like 48 degree weather at like the sun ain't even up. And like, you gotta run for 2 miles. And it's just like something in my mind when I first started was just like, why the fuck are you doing this? Like, what is going to come out of this? And what came out of it was, like, I'm able to like tell myself now to be like nice to myself, but at the same time be like, just know that you got to go, like know that you got to go still. So like, you know, maybe whatever you need to do. And it's kind of like the running. So like, you know, maybe I'll take a day off running, but it's like the next day I'm back to running.
Yeah.
It's like, I ain't just going to stop unless I'm unable to run. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, something I learned about goals, and it took me a long time to realize this, was that like you set those to have something to achieve, like something, like it's almost like your roadmap to get you where you need to go. Because I've always set big ass goals, and some I've accomplished, some I haven't. And the ones that I didn't, I would be hard on myself about not accomplishing them shits. But then, you know, you fast forward time, like there were goals that I set in 2010 that I accomplished in 2020.
Exactly.
So it's like having those ideas, putting them down on paper, really looking at them and seeing them, like they built a roadmap for me to get here. You know what I mean? And kind of going back to the fear thing, like with this podcasting shit, I don't know nobody that's done podcasting. I haven't seen nobody do this shit. So yeah, it's a lot of fear in how this shit is supposed to be for me, but really allowing it to just be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we build these ideas of what things, like, that's why it's so hard to start things, because it's like, this has to be this. And it's like, no, just allow it to be what it is today, and know with that goal that you set, it's going to go where it's supposed to go.
No doubt about that. I agree with that 100%. And man, I do want to shout out the book, The Artist's Way.
Yeah.
Because that has a great passage about fear in it. I'll give just a kind of a quick rundown, but it's like, it's explaining how, like, when you do set those big goals for yourself, it's you're a lot harder on yourself when you don't achieve them. But if you set small goals and you keep achieving them, it keeps you on like a, keeps you content. Cause when you set those high goals and you don't achieve them, you feel bad. You feel like almost like, fuck.
I think you got to have a combination of both though, because, you know, like for me, when I set these small goals, they easy. Like, them motherfuckers come quick.
That's what I mean. It's like you set the, it's like you set them in succession. It's like you do one thing, that's two. You do another thing, that's four. You do another thing, that's eight. And then you do another thing, that's 10. It's like you going up.
Yeah.
But it starts, it's kind of like how I'm talking about, like, the running thing.
Yeah.
Like, I started running, and out of nowhere, now 6 months later, I got an album.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even writing music. I was not writing music. I was not doing nothing. I went on runs. I'd come home from my run. I wouldn't smoke or nothing. I would just go straight to writing.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna start doing that again, just because it felt good, felt great doing that. And
that kind of makes me think about something that my homeboy told me. Shout out to Mr. Thomas Invest. But taking those big goals and building a roadmap. So it's like, okay, I got this big ass goal, but it's going to take, like you said, some steps to get there. So
just steps.
It's those
just
like, smaller, you know, goals are really just the steps to get you to the big one.
And that's the thing, is that they relate to an artist's way. It's like it's like somebody saying, like, okay, I'm gonna run an opera. I want to do an opera. It's like, well, if you don't achieve that goal, you're going to feel bad. Like, you want an opera? Okay, let's see how we can get those goals and get you towards doing that.
But yeah.
Like, if you just set it off the bat, I want to have like an opera. I just want to, you know, like, one person show. I want to have a one person show and just kill it. You know what I mean? It's like, it takes work. It doesn't just take you just being like, I want to do it.
Yeah.
But even at that too, The Artist's Way does go into like how it kind of goes back into when we were children, and being creatives is kind of a way of kind of rebelling against your parents, because parents don't exactly see artists as, I don't know, legit ways of making money. So it's kind of, in a way, you're rebelling.
Yeah.
When you do make that rebellion, it's like, it's not you're going to be a good artist. You want to be a great artist.
Yeah.
You want to be good. You want to be great, because in the end, you kind of rebelled in the end.
Like, yeah.
You want to be great. You don't want to be good.
So what do you want people to get out of your music? Like, what do you want people to take away from your music?
Ultimately, man, I feel like ultimately I just want people to take from my music the same thing that I get from my music. I get inspiration, I get motivation, and I get a sense of just keeping your head up. It's like Tupac's song, Keep Your Head Up. It's kind of a real, like, two of my biggest inspirations are Bob Marley and Tupac. So it's like, if you were to ask Bob Marley, what do you want people to get out of your music? It's like, everyone love each other. Shit.
Yeah.
If I were to say that's my message, it's like, honestly, that's not my message, but it's an influence of mine. And it's one of those things that, like, in the end, I do want everybody to love you. I believe in unity. I believe in just I believe in like an open, I don't believe in discriminating, man. Like, I don't believe in like, I remember we were talking earlier about like marketing to specific people that, you know, cater to my audiences and stuff. It's like, I don't want to have a specific type of people that listen to my music. I want my music to be generally just like known that, like, I love everybody. You know what I mean? I don't have no discrimination against no one.
Yeah.
I love international. You know, I am half black, half Iranian, which is, you know, not very common for a hip hop artist. And, man, ultimately, just from the music, man, at the beginning, it was positivity. I want to spread positivity. I want people to be happy. But now, my ultimate message for my music is being self-aware of your self-awareness, being self-conscious, and just having just a general knowledge of the self and just being aware. And I think that a lot of us, I think a lot of people just in general, it's just we don't have too much awareness and knowledge of the self. I think knowledge of the self is like the number one thing that everyone in the world needs to know. And that's how I want my message to be spread like that. I think everyone needs to have a knowledge of themselves. I think everyone needs to know them. I think everyone needs to know their own body. They need to know how to be healthy. They need to know themselves. They need to know that they're all right. They need to know that they're feeling sad. They need to know that they're feeling angry. They need to, like, it's one of those things too that, like, I don't want to push self, you know, like being exactly how to say it, like self-confident, you know what I mean? I don't want to push self-confidence on people because that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to push people to be self-confident. I'm trying to push people to be self-aware and just know more about you. That's it. Because that's all I'm doing in my music is that I'm learning more about myself. I'm epileptic. For years, I was going through epilepsy and I was writing songs about like just how I was feeling. The songs were echoing how I was feeling in life. And people that were close to me can hear that. They were like, damn, like you can hear the emotion in the songs that you're going through something. And it's like, I want people to know that like we're human, man. Like at the beginning, when it was about just like positivity, I want to push positivity. It's like, that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a real life. Life is hard sometimes. Life is sad sometimes. You get angry sometimes. But we need to just, if you're aware of that stuff, you have a better control over it when it happens. When you do get sad, when things do push you over the edge. If you have that knowledge of yourself, it helps so much. And it helps so much in different ways that people don't even realize because a lot of people don't really have that. And that was a class in like senior year of high school. And I remember one of our classes was self-knowledge and mythology. And it was my favorite class I've ever taken in my life because it incorporated a lot of philosophy and stuff like that. But really incorporating self-knowledge, and a lot of us in that class, we really loved that class. And it got cut the next year. It was only a year. It only lasted a year and it was cut because the school was like, it's not necessary knowledge.
Damn.
You know what I mean? It's kind of the way I feel about like home economics. I'm just saying like home ec used to be an essential class in schools. Why ain't it an essential class no more? We ain't need to cook no more? We still need to cook. We still need to know how to take care of our house. We still need to know how to live. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's a knowledge of self, man. Just knowing that you like to cook, knowing that you like to paint, knowing that you like to juggle balls, knowing that you like the unicycle. It's like just simple stuff like you know what you love to do. Go do it. Find a place in the world that they accept, you know what I mean? And go for it. And that's the thing too, is like I really try to push it that it's like I don't want, it's one thing too. It's like if you can, then I suggest it. If you can't, you know what I mean? I can't speak for those that can't because I was given some privilege as I grew up. I was born and raised in Santa Barbara. And I ain't trying to like play off like I've been struggling my whole life or something like that. Like, yeah, I had a single mom. Yeah, things weren't the easiest. Yeah, there'd be kids around me. They getting the new PS2, getting the Xbox, and I'm chilling on my PS1 and stuff. But it's like I still lived a really great life. And the opportunities are still there. You know what I mean? I'm lucky enough that I have a support system. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people out there who don't have a support system. They don't have just a lot of people in tough situations, man. And like, I feel like my situation is workable. And with the chance that I've been given and just like the opportunities that I've been given, I just feel it's a slap in my own face to just like quit at this point. I can't stop. I can't stop what I'm doing. And yeah, man, I know that was a lengthy ass answer.
No, it's all good.
I already know that was a lengthy ass answer to that question. But like ultimately, that's what the music trial just like, that's the message is self-awareness and self-consciousness, man. And just like self-love. You know what I mean? Like those are on my sound. Like those are like the main things that I try to push on, like pushing music.
Yeah.
And if I could do it in other avenues, I can't. I will.
Yeah.
So today, what does letting go of fear look like for you today? Like, what do those, as we said, like those small steps, what do they look like?
And letting go of fear for me today, right now at this moment, just means putting down that barrier that I still have. I remember years ago you told me, if you message somebody, you ain't bugging them. You just sending a message. Like, you ain't bothering nobody until you spamming them. So it's like, I'm still getting over that slight fear of like the level of person that I'm talking to. And I still talk to them like I don't want to bug them. And it's like, I'm still working with that. And I feel like right now today, if I could just eliminate that fear, man, I would be so, I feel like it would open up a lot for me, because I still have that like hesitant little bit of fear that I like, maybe I'm bugging them or something like that. And it's like, letting go of that, man, letting go of that fear.
That's what's up, man. I'm about to let go of my fear today too. I'm letting go of the fear of thinking that my shit ain't valuable enough to make money off of. Because I know the genuine care that I put into everything that I do. So it is of value. And yeah, man, I just had to get that out as well. I got a couple of more questions for you, and then we're going to go to our next segment. But what is one piece of advice that you would like to give to your younger self at any stage?
I give one piece of advice to my younger self. It would just be stop tripping. Stop worrying so much. You worry for no reason sometimes, and it affects you in way bigger ways than you even realize. Yeah, man, that would be like the one. I think I had this conversation the other day. Somebody asked me the same exact thing. Like, what would you say to your younger self? And I was like, it would be like simple as just like, stop tripping about like money. Stop tripping about like debt. Stop tripping about like all this stuff. That's just like, stop tripping. You have no reason to be tripping right now. Like, you tripping is affecting you. And it's affecting you in long, like it's going to affect you in long term. So stop worrying, man. Like, as hard as it may be to tell like a younger version of yourself, it's like, man, really let go of that like fear and worry about like money and stuff. Like, stop tripping. Money comes and it goes. Don't like stop putting yourself in fucking like this fear hole and taking away your motivation and just stopping you and just like everything, your goals, life, all that stuff. And for what? For money, for debt. It's like, it's wild, man. It's wild. And that's something that within the past year, I literally just got over that. Like, this 2020 was like the year that I got over just the fact of like, cause I mean, you think about it, everyone in the world right now is struggling. So
yeah,
it's
of
like,
course.
I, at this point, was just like, you know what? Fuck it. My amount of debt that I have is nowhere near what somebody that went to, you know, college is, you know what I mean? So it's like, I look at it like, you know, one version of debt's this, one version of debt's that. But in the end, it's, you know, they just numbers, it's just money. It comes, it goes. And in the end, I'm fine, man. I'm healthy. I'm all right. It's, you know, thank God. You know what I mean? Everything's good. Everything's good.
That's what's up. What is a reminder that you want to give to your future self?
It's funny because I write letters to my future self like every week. Just like every time I do something, every single time I like, you know, I remember I put my album out, like wrote a letter to myself for the future. Just like wrote some, just like, yo, bro, like, you know, I think I wrote something on my birthday too. Just like, yo, like I'm tripping that you know, one thing that I'm writing to my future self is like, I'm tripping that you still doing this. Like, and if you are, like, if my future self, like, it's one of those things, my future self, it's like, I really try to make it real basic. I don't want to, like, predict my future or nothing like that, but I write where I'm at, like, and, like, how I'm feeling, you know what I mean? So it's like, if I were to write a letter to myself right now, just, like, for the future self, it'd be like, man, remember Kazo's podcast that she was on? That was fun, wasn't it? Like, you had a good time. It was a ball. It was a blast. You know what I mean? Like, don't know what life's like in the future or nothing like that. I don't ever like to really predict the future, and I don't like to dwell on the past. But yeah, man, I would just tell my future self, like, I'm happy right now. I feel good. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you did do to change life up, man, you making me feel good. You know what I mean? Like, that change that you made in 2020 where you just were like, I'm going to go on runs every day. I'm going to eat well. You just decided to just be this person that takes care of your body and takes care of yourself, your mind, body, soul. Like, I would just say thank you for making that change. Like, thank you. I mean, future you. Like, I don't know if you're still doing it, but, like, thank you. I feel great right now. I feel amazing. I feel like I'm in a great spot. The energy that I felt ever since the beginning of 2021, I've just been feeling a real positive, you know. I don't even want to say positive, man. It's just felt strong. The energy's just felt strong. I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be bad. And that's even something that I said in the beginning of the year, was that I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be bad. I just feel something. Something is like brewing. It's crazy.
That's what's up, man. That's a good feeling. And what brings, this is my last question, what brings NUK joy?
Freedom. Ultimately, that's it. Like, it's crazy that, you know, freedom's like fear, man. It could come in so many different, it's come in so many different forms. It's like financial freedom. It's artistic freedom. It's like freedom, man. Like, and the fact that I'm 100% free, it's like that, it gives me so much joy that, you know, as an independent artist, as the artist I am right now, you know, it's tiny little waves, you know what I mean? But like that, yeah, artistic freedom that I have, even, you know, from day one, like how I made Don't Score in the Dreamer and stuff. Like, I've always kind of been that person that just, like, I just create shit, you know, and if I want to put it out, I'll put it out. But it's like, man, ultimately what brings me joy is freedom. It's freedom. It's freedom, financial freedom. It's health, like freedom of health. I mean, you know, I take medicine, so it's like, you know, that kind of goes back to financial freedom. It's just like being free, man. Feeling free to feel free.
That's what's up, man. And that's a good transition into our next segment, which is sponsored by Feel Free to Feel Free. That's, it is right, called the 5 Questions of Freedom. And I'm going to ask you 5 questions, and you can answer them any way you like. And first question is, modeling or rapping?
Damn, I can't do both. It's like one of those things. It's like, man, I would put acting in there too. I'd be like saxophonist. I'd be like, damn. Like, it's like if I had to choose between one or the other, it's like, even at that, man, like, I can't even classify myself as like a rapper. People be listening to my music, they're like, you don't sound like, you gotta put that in a different classification. You can't put that in rap.
I'm just, yeah,
like, what? Like, they'll listen to some of my songs sometimes, they'll be like, you can't even classify that as rap. Sorry. I'm like, what's it, urban? What, hip hop? It's like, yeah, I guess I'd rather be a hip hop artist to ultimately answer the question. I'd rather be a hip hop artist than be a model, because a hip hop artist can
yeah,
it's kind of all over the place.
Bob Marley or Tupac?
Damn. That, see, those are two, like, those are two people that are intertwined in my brain. That's just, yeah, like, even just the general vibe that I like to put off is like in life and everything, man. I just like to always be smiling, having a good time, which is like reminds me of Tupac, and then just that general just self-love and all that stuff, Bob Marley. So it's like, man, fuck. Oh, I gotta be honest, man. I can't even make the choice.
That's what's up. I feel you.
I can't make the, that's one question that you stumped the hell out of me on that one. Like, that was like completely, I'm like, damn, those are literally two people like that I have on my inspiration list, and they're next to each other. They're not even in one and two. They're like Bob Marley, Tupac. It's like, and then it goes down from there.
Yeah. That's real. If you could work with anybody, dead or alive, who would you want to work with?
It'd be alive. And Isaiah Rashad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, I thought you would have said Weezy.
It's just, yeah. I literally was thinking the exact same thing, but I'm just like, the type of song that I'd want to make.
Yeah.
And the type of song that I'd like beat.
Yeah.
It would match more of an Isaiah Rashad sound.
Yeah, because Weezy would get on there too reckless.
He'd fucking shit on me in a verse, and I'd have to be like, and UK on the track again. UK here, yeah. Like everyone would be like, "Damn, Weezy killed that," and I'd be like, "Fuck, man, what the like? What am I left to work with? Shit, every single verse he just shit on. Like he just killed me. Like at least on an Isaiah song, I'd at least get a good rhythm. I'd get a good harmony. There'd be a dope beat. I'd have fun writing to it. I
know, yeah,
it'd be cool. Like it would come out good vibes and everything. So,
what is one thing people should check out when they come to Santa Barbara?
Be real, I was born and raised there, but man, it's a beautiful place. But I call it champagne bubbles, to be real. Things ain't always as they seem, you know, things ain't always as they look.
Yeah.
Just go to the beach. Just go to the ocean. Anywhere by the coast. I say a beach. Find a beach that's like known to locals in Santa Barbara, you know what I mean? Don't go to the Santa Barbara main beach or nothing like that. Ask a local, you know what I mean? There's locals all over the place. Ask a local a nice beach to go to. And there's a lot of beautiful beaches in Santa Barbara and a lot of ones that are not, you know what I mean? There's a lot of ones that are, you know, main beaches and stuff and a lot, you know, just big crowds of people. But there are those specific places that are just beautiful. And just, yeah, man. Overall, the city, you know, the mission's cool. I mean, going to the top of the mountains is tight. But ultimately, man, I say if you go to Santa Barbara, going to the beach and specifically going to like a beach that a local knows about, that's like, yo, you should be going. You go to this beach, check it out, because there's a lot of beaches out there that are like that. And man, they're beautiful.
That's what's up. And the last one is, if I wasn't in UK, I would be blank.
If I wasn't at UK, I'd be Andre Mahomrose. And I'd be a, damn, man. I remember in school, like, I made a drastic change. Listening to Lil Wayne in high school screwed me up. Damn. Shit, like, straight took me down the road. Like, I was like, I just started smoking weed. And so I was like, shit, I want to be a rapper now. Like, I remember initially, bro, I wanted to be, like, an architect or, like, an engineer of some sort.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Just because my mind kind of works like that in all the classes that were related to that, I was getting good grades in. So it's like, it kind of just made sense for me to go and do that. And initially, when I came out here to the Art Institute, I got sent back to Santa Barbara. I went to college for philosophy and music. So I was still trying to do music, but I had a real, real interest in philosophy. And I actually had my college counselor told me that I was gonna make no money from it. She's like, your major is philosophy, you ain't gonna make no money.
Wow.
And I was just like, you're supposed to be a college fucking counselor, you know what I mean? She's like looking at me like, and you want to minor in music? She's kind of just looking at me like, you can't do anything other than be a teacher. And I was just like, like that damn. Yeah. She's looking at my credits like, you haven't taken any English credits. I'm like, I'm a philosophy man. I'm looking at her like, well, philosophy's harder than English. What the fuck are you talking about? We read more, we write more. She's like, nah, you need to get your credits. So you got to take English 101 again. I was like, so you telling me I got to go next year? I got to take English 101. So I'm basically a year back. And she was just like, yeah. And I was just like, I'm out. So yeah. I literally left school that day. I remember just like her specifically, like just her vibe and just like everything about it. I was like, man, fuck, like, to be real, that's how school is. They don't even care about anyone. They don't even care about you unless you like giving money or you like adding money to the economy or anything like that. And it's like, none of my jobs were equal in money. So in her eyes, it was like, you don't want to do none of this. Like it's almost like you made a mistake. It's like, let me correct this for you. And I'm sitting there like, no, I want to learn philosophy. I want to learn music. Like I played music from 4th to 9th grade. She's looking at me just like, played clarinet from 4th to 9th grade. She's just like, well, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, she's looking at me just like, you know, music, what do you want to be in a band? Like, do you want to be in an orchestra or something? I'm just kind of like looking at her, like, she's literally just like handing me just these like lists of things that just like, let's change your major. Let's change your major. Let's change it. And I'm literally looking at her just like, no.
Hey, but she, you know what? She was an important person to the journey, because you could have went through school and
you
been like,
I mean? I literally would have went through school. I would have kept doing English. I would have probably ended up doing philosophy, to be honest, just because I was already doing philosophy. So it would be Andre Mahomrod's The Philosophy. I'd be like a philosophy teacher or something like that.
So shout out to you, lady, for inspiring NUK.
Straight up. Shout out to you for inspiring NUK. Because a lot of people heard that story, too. So a lot of people were sitting there just like, damn, City College got some counselors like that? Okay. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Santa Barbara City College. Watch out for them counselors. That all they want you to do is either marketing, communications, account, anything like that, nursing, anything like that. But they don't. They kind of like frown upon musicians and philosophers and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe that might. Yeah, be
but you know, but you know what? Like I said, it's a good thing that she did. Because what if you did waste your time
and
being
that's
there?
That's one of the things too. Is it's like I can't just like say that specific school. It's like maybe the whole school. You know.
Of course.
Maybe
of
like
course.
If I went to UC Santa Cruz or something, like anywhere, I'm sure it would have been the same sort of like counselor telling me the same sort of like think trying to help me, but in the end, like really putting a fire under my butt. Like what?
Yeah.
Like, but I'm sure it would have happened the same thing anywhere, any other school I would have went to. So.
I feel that, man. Man, where can the people find you?
N-U-K, ENYUKAY.com, NUK.com. Man, I'm all over SoundCloud, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere is at N-U-K. The only thing that is not is my YouTube channel, which is Top Shelf N-U-K.
That's what's up.
So it's Top Shelf N-U-K, the letters. That's my YouTube channel. But
that's
every other platform in the world, I'm literally the only N-U-K. I'm the only E-N-Y-U-K-A-Y. I'm the only one. So if you type it in Google, I come up on Google. I'm the only one. Which also, you know, that's interesting, man. It's weird when you create something. It almost feels like your baby, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You make a logo, you make shirts, you know what I mean? It's fun when it's something that you created. I mean, just like shirts you got, man, The Art of Letting Go. It's like, it just feels good when you make something and it's like, now it's been over 10 years and it's like you were saying earlier, man, I had a sketchbook from when I was like 2012.
Yeah.
And it was all my shirt ideas. And one of the shirt ideas I used for the shirts that I made.
That's what's up. That's dope.
So it's funny that my 2012 self wrote down a shirt. And then my 2020 self was, or 2020-21 self was like, that's a good idea for a shirt. Let me see if it's possible. I got the money to do it.
Yes. That's what's up.
And literally did it. And it's a trip, man. It's a trip how like I looked at the piece of paper and then I looked at the shirt. And I'm like, man, that's such a trip, man. Such a trip to look at something that you wrote in 2012, like a shirt idea. And it's like, you see the actual, you know, you see the actual thing. You're just like, damn. Like you said, man, when you write those goals down, then you like see them. No matter how big or small it may be, you just trip out.
Yeah, man.
Trip out. And it's the same thing. My goals for 2019, I pretty much did all of them. And I had to like go over them in 2021 to be like, damn, I knocked all my goals off.
That's what's up.
I think like one of them was like become an official artist, like make 5 music video, like make 3 music videos or something like that. And it's like, I looked at my list. I'm like, I didn't even need to look at the list, but like I did all the stuff on the list.
Yeah.
I'm just looking back like, damn, I just wrote it down. I didn't even like look at it every day. Like, oh, this is what I need to be doing. This is what I need to be focused on. It's like, it really trips me out that like, I looked at my 2019 list and I'm like, check, 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 check. Check. Like,
that's what's up, man.
Like, what the, like, I was like, what? It's taken me a year and a half, maybe, but like, I still got it done. I got all the things that I was like, these are goals that I want to get done. It's like, I got them done.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, I didn't need to keep looking at the thing. And that's one thing that I kind of told myself in 2019 was like, you know what needs to get done. Just do it.
Yeah.
Stop talking about it. Stop writing it down. Like, you've written enough. Like, you've written down what you need to do. Now do it.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I feel that. Man, NUK, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Of course, man. It's my pleasure.
Thank y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace.
Peace.
Thank y'all for tuning into this week's episode. If you would like to support the show, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. Also, leave a comment, Let us know what you think. Let other people know what you think. Leave us a voicemail. We got a Patreon where we're going to give exclusive content. I'm going to give exclusive content. But yeah, it's a lot of ways to support. We got merch. But also, please share this podcast with people if you think it'll be helpful to them. Thank y'all for listening. It's Mike Brown. It's The Art of Letting Go.